Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for the series titled When We Pray. This is part 3. And so let's pray. Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word, and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading for today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 5 to 13, and I'm reading from the NIV. Jesus is speaking and he says this, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. In part 1 and 2, we used the simple statement in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17 as a basis from which to approach our talking with God. When we pray, what it should look like. We are to pray continually, or as other translations put it, pray without ceasing. The Good News Bible says, pray at all times. But it is difficult to even imagine praying at all times, unless we have a deeply relational walk with God. What we discover in folk who enjoy a closeness in their relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a worshipfulness and love of Scripture present in their lives. By worshipfulness, I mean an ease with which God is adored and revered in their everyday lives. And when I speak of love of Scripture, I mean that there is a genuine desire to honor God as he speaks to them through it, without trying to make Scripture fit their views. Reality is that much in Scripture is self-evident when approached with an open and careful heart to hear what God is saying. The goal of God's Word is to bring changes to the hearts and minds of his people. A great example I heard the other day relates to a guitar and the use of a guitar tuner. The point is to get the guitar to match the tuner, not the other way round. And so it is with God's Word. We don't try to make God's Word match our lives. Instead, our lives are to match God's Word. Thus, in the process of growing in our communion with God, we are taken on a journey where we are able to grow in His grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And while this is happening, we discover that the Holy Spirit will point us to the needs around us, needs that require prayer, and where necessary, action. And so today we continue our discussion about the what, the how, the when, and other issues that are important for when we pray. Hopefully by now you will have been reminded that prayer is a wonderful gift from God, for fellowship with Him and cooperation with Him in fulfilling His will here on earth. This means that it is every Christian's ministry from the youngest to the oldest. We also learn that prayer is not complicated in any way whatsoever. And if it has been made complicated, people have made it so by misrepresenting the Word of God or fixating on formulae, none of which make for consistency in growing in a relational prayer life. That said, we would all do well to remember the saying, "The only prayers that are never answered are those that are never prayed," Which takes us to this side issue, where some may say, but even when I do pray, my prayers are not answered. This may well be the case, but it is hardly about God not caring. Sometimes we are not in step with God's will. Sometimes self-interest is conflated or confused with the true will of God. Much like the young lady desperately looking for a husband, who, after much praying, changed her tactics and prayed to God, saying, O Lord, I want to pray for my dear mother and ask that you would provide her with a son-in-law. A helpful message that gets to the point is in James chapter 4, verse 2, the second part, and verse 3. God's people are told, yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. So in some cases, the ineffectiveness of our prayers is that our attitudes and concerns are out of line with God's will and purposes. Thankfully, God has given the body of Christ a prayer that, when we pray, in spirit and in truth, will lead to an adjustment of both our attitude and perspective. And this is the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 13, our text for today, Jesus begins by speaking about the wrong way to pray. See what he says from verses 5 to 8. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. This is not about public prayer that we have in church. I tell you the truth, said Jesus, they have received their reward in full. Verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Because when you are on your own, the truth of what is in your heart will be spoken. You can speak frankly and openly. And when you pray, Jesus said in verse 7, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't prattle on and on without giving any thought to what you are doing or saying. It is meaningless. Verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So Jesus, intent on moving his followers away from the prevailing behavior of the day, determined to set God's people on the right path if they, and we, are to pray correctly. He says that the remedy is to find ourselves praying in earnest in a quiet and private place. What follows then is a prayer that is also known as the disciples' prayer. So let's look at it, beginning at verse 9. This then, said Jesus, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Later manuscripts add, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I think many of us know that while there is absolutely nothing wrong with praying the Lord's Prayer, especially in a congregational setting, this is not necessarily the way we should always pray, using only these words. Rather, we are presented with a pattern for our prayers. That is why Jesus said, this is how you should pray, not what you should pray. It is therefore not surprising that this prayer begins with God's interests, not ours. It begins with God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will, such that the focus in our prayers is important. To highlight this, one theologian said, prayer is a mighty instrument, not for getting man's will done in heaven, but for getting God's will done on earth. We have no right to ask God for anything that will dishonor his name, delay his kingdom, or disturb his will on earth. Now, this is precisely what the Lord's Prayer sets out to accomplish. As we pray, we cannot help but be drawn to the one who is author of everything, our Father. not simply in a family sense, but in the sense that God is the head of his creation, the one who fathered everything, who is in heaven, not to keep us at arm's length, but to remind us that he is not like us, whose name is hallowed, meaning sacred, holy, and revered, whose name, because it is a reflection of his nature, should be sacred, holy, and revered. So immediately the tone is set, we establish the order of things as they really are and ought to be. And this should not dissuade us from communing with God in a relational way. We are simply very clear now about who it is we address, one who is both precious and personal, while also awesome and majestic. And because, Father, you are most holy, sacred, and the Father of all things, may your kingdom come, may your reign or rule over this creation that is fallen in sin be established in every aspect of its life, and let it begin in me. Let me bow my knee and declare your rule over my life. You are my source, therefore I ask that you give us today and each day our needs to survive in this world, our food, our clothing, our jobs, our shelter. And as we live in the glory of your grace, which is poured out through the atoning work of the cross, may we know your forgiveness and live in the shadow of it, ever aware that we have done nothing to deserve it, and therefore forgiveness should be extended to those who have sinned against us. Furthermore, because you are our provider, help us not to be tempted to find refuge in our own resources, in anyone else or anything else. Help us to trust in you when all else fails, particularly in the time of great hardship and tribulation, believing that you will ultimately deliver us from the evil one and his constant tempting of us, trying to get us to take our eyes off you. And so we confess that all realms, seen and unseen, belong to you, as does all power and glory for all time. This gives us hope in a world overflowing with so much that reflects the fallen human condition. Hope that you will bring all things under your rule. Amen. And so as we close, I'm sure that you can see how the Lord's Prayer, or the disciples' prayer, has a structure to it that locates us in the order of things and restores perspective so that we are able to live beyond our fears and anxieties with confidence in the God who is almighty, yet at the same time reminds us that he is our Heavenly Father. Not only that, but that he is the Father of all things, who has the whole world, our whole world, in his hands. From Scripture we find that God has declared prayer to be part of how his kingdom comes, how his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we should pray faithfully, with faith, and with words that come from our hearts as the Holy Spirit leads us. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you draw us into fellowship with yourself by way of the gift of prayer. You do not require a great vocabulary, only our hearts and simple words to express our adoration, our gratitude, and our requests as you lead us. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen. And God bless you. And so I hope that you will join us next time for part 4.